Scripture this morning comes from two locations, Proverbs 24 and Ephesians 6. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. I pass by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And then from Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The word of Lord.
This is the Labor Day weekend. And you know, Labor Day is a kind of strange holiday when you think about it. While we call it Labor Day, we try to do as little labor as possible, and most working people have the day off. Question: has anyone ever wished you a happy Labor Day? We don't get or really give Labor Day cards. We don't decorate our houses in a way, you know, or give Labor Day gifts. The florists and the greeting card manufacturers haven't found a way to capitalize on it yet. And you know what? Oftentimes it's a bad weekend for a church because everyone wants to travel. Thank you for being here, by the way. Thank you for being here. You know, Labor Day is indeed different things to different people. To the factory worker, or even the office worker, it may indeed be a day off. For policemen who deal with extra traffic and alcohol abuse, it's a tough one. To the farmer and the rancher, it's just another day to feed the cattle and work in the fields. For preachers, you know, it's an opportunity to talk about work. And you know, friends, work is a very important part of God's will for people. Which leads us quite easily into today's sermon. A little slumber, a little sleep. What I like to do is transpose that Old Testament scripture reading, Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, which Dan just read a few moments ago, into a more contemporary setting. And by pointing out three key questions from the scriptures, seek to establish several applications. Applications because it's Labor Day weekend. You have to have something to take away with you to apply, right? I think so. So, right now, transpose in your mind the Old Testament reading that Dan just did, and let's put a contemporary setting to it. I was out walking, and I noticed this house. It was beautiful. The lawn was well manicured, carefully fertilized, neatly mowed and trimmed. Oh, the flower beds, just gorgeous, just gorgeous. And it had a large, flourishing garden. The house had been freshly painted, and all the windows were sparkling clean. It was indeed a beautiful sight to behold. But as I continued walking, I couldn't help but notice the contrast with one of his neighbors. That house was in bad state of repair. The lawn looked like it had not been mowed in months. The flower beds were full of weeds. The house itself was badly in need of paint. There were holes in the roof, and some windows were broken. As I approached the house and opened the gate, it fell off its hinges. Then, I felt a sharp pain at my ankle and discovered that the yard was full of thorns and nettles. I saw a man sitting on the porch. I greeted him. "Hello, how are you?" "Oh, not good at all," he replied. Everything is going to pot these days. The welfare system, it's a mess. They don't give me enough money, and I just don't have time to get anything done." I replied, "Well, I do see that your place is pretty sad looking. You don't have much grass, that's true, but you could at least cut down the weeds and patch things up a bit. And you do have plenty of room for a garden." "Oh, I can't do that. You see, I'm worried about my back. And my muscles, oh, they aren't as strong as they used to be. Just so much to do. Just so much to do." So, as we look at this man and his house, his yard, and the garden area, we realize that here is a man who simply has not done what he could or should have done. His house, his garden, and lawn were all neglected. Neglected. And that is the subject Solomon is presenting to us. Neglect. Neglect. Whenever neglect takes place, the process of decay automatically sets in. And indeed, this is an important subject. So what we're going to do is ask three key questions about this man, which appears on your outline before you. And the first question is, why was he so neglectful? And we are going to, in the interest of time, focus on his garden. His garden. I am sure that if we were to ask him about his neglect, he would probably have a variety of excuses. Maybe he might say something like this: "I don't have enough room for a garden." Oh, we know that's not true. But that might be one of his excuses. We would say, "Look, here is the space that could be used for a good garden, if only you would use it." "Well," he says, "I know, but it's not as big as my neighbor's. So, I don't even bother." He had plenty of space for a garden, but he never utilized the potential that was there. Application number one. Remember I said it's Labor Day weekend, you got to have some application. It is not hard to see that what Solomon is saying applies to our lives too. God has given each of us a garden, our life. And we can either plant good seeds or bad seeds. We can make our life good or we can make it bad. It's totally up to us. First application, it's either a good life or a bad life. Then the man might say, "Well, yes, I do have room for a garden, but my ground, it isn't really fertile." He goes on, "If I planted some seeds, they wouldn't grow. I knew it would be a waste of time, so I decided not to try at all." We could reply, "But if that is true, then how do you explain your tremendous crop of weeds? Ground that will grow weeds that big could also grow flowers and vegetables, because the same minerals that produce a healthy crop of weeds can also produce something worthwhile." That's not a good excuse. Application number two. That's true with our lives, friends. The same qualities can produce either good or evil. So there is a real need for Christians, you and me, to present to the world the gospel that can transform lives and change that evil to good. Second application, short takeaway for you. Christians, you and I must present the gospel. You and I must present the gospel. Well, the man might say something like this. Maybe it's fertile enough, and maybe it could have grown a crop, but you see, the environment here, oh, it's really bad. Bad environment. Animals would probably get into my garden and ruin everything. That's why I didn't even try. That's not a good excuse either, is it? Because Solomon says, what Dan read earlier, the stone wall was in ruins. Now, why was the wall there in the first place? It was there to protect the garden and keep wild animals out. By neglecting the wall, he made it possible for his environment to turn bad and thus destroy the garden. Another application for you. Sometimes people say, oh, I would like to live for Christ, but I live in a bad environment. Don't you realize, you could counter with, that God has provided all we need to live a Christian life? Third application, you and I serve an all-sufficient God. You and I serve an all-sufficient God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul tells us, and I quote, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes," end of quote. Make sure that you and I are protected from the flaming missiles of the evil one. And then you and I will be able to live victoriously for Christ, even in a not so good or bad environment. Well, then the question begs to be asked, why did this man fail? Why did he fail? He didn't fail because he couldn't have a garden. The ground was fertile, right? Fertile ground. If he didn't fail because of bad environment, why did he fail? Why did he fail? Proverbs tells us that he failed because he was L-A-Z-Y, lazy. Lazy. In fact, Solomon calls him a, quote, sluggard. That's kind of a fancy word, still means lazy. Solomon says, and I quote again, "I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." End of quote. So here, friends, is a picture of laziness. And sad to say, laziness can be an enemy. We must constantly battle it, or it could defeat us. And we could fail like the man pictured in the account of Proverbs. Brings us to the second key question. Why is this picture such a tragedy? Why is it such a tragedy? I submit to you there's two answers that are woven in here. First of all, it is a tragedy because this man failed to realize the value of work. Value of work. It is everybody's responsibility, whether old or young, man or woman, wise or unwise, rich or poor, to be a contributor to life and to society. It is everybody's responsibility to do something constructive. Illustration. Whenever we see a machine of some sort, regardless of how impressive it might appear to the eye, usually one of the first questions we ask is, what does it do? Right? What does it do? Here comes another application for you. The tragedy of this man's life is he never learned the blessing of giving. He only thinks about receiving. He didn't learn the blessing of working and contributing something to life and those around him. Fourth application, briefly. More blessed to give. More blessed to give. The second reason his life is such a tragedy is because it is through the work that you and I do that our personalities are developed and we can reach our greatest potential. Regrettably, so many people today seem to have that aversion to work. Just add a little sidebar humor here for a moment. And you could say, oh, I heard something like this, so I'm just going to say it serves as an illustration purpose. Man goes to the doctor and told him about all those aches and pains and that he wasn't able to do all the things at home that needed to be done, so they didn't get done. So after undergoing a battery of tests, he says, now, doc, I really can take it. I'm a big boy. Tell me in plain English just what is wrong with me. Well, okay. The doctor replied, you said in plain English, right? I did. There's nothing physically wrong with you at all. You're just lazy. Oh, okay, doc. I get it. Now give me a medical term so I can tell my wife. A medical term so I can tell my wife. Another application coming your way. The tragic thing in this man's life in Proverbs was that because he never worked, his leadership qualities, his sense of responsibility, his determination, and even his feeling of self-worth were never really developed. Fifth application, in brief words, leadership qualities matter. Leadership qualities matter. Today, we are reaping the harvest of one of the most affluent generations that has ever lived. We are seeing people in roles of leadership who have been given everything. They never really had to work for it. And because of that, real leadership qualities are not developed. Someone has often remarked about the absence of heroes in our time, how poor we are in the area of real heroes. And if you took just a big brush across the annals of history, American history, you see the George Washingtons, the Abraham Lincolns, the Theodore Roosevelts, the Ronald Reagans, great leaders who led us through perilous times and kept our national integrity intact. The question begs to be asked, what happened to those dynamic, inspiring leaders? Perhaps just as recently as this week, though, America did pay homage and respect to a life that was lived fully in service, a life that was bigger than himself, John McCain. But there's also sports heroes Oftentimes when we are young people, we used to think, oh, they inspire us. Where are they now? There aren't a whole lot of them, are there? It's hard to find someone to look up to admire, to respect in our day. But that sounds negative. And just this past week, I know on the news, if I say Carson Wentz, a lot of you are going to say, uh-huh, Dennis, I know where you're going with this. And of course, Mr. Wentz reached out to children and donated enormous amount of food and was there on the serving line. That role model, right? Got to have more Carson Wentzes. But that leads us to the third question on our outline. What did laziness do to this man's life? That's the last question. I think three things we can look at. His laziness contributed to the fact that he was never able to bring in a harvest. He never knew the joy of going out at harvest time after he had cultivated the ground, planted the seeds, and watched them grow. He could have grown flowers that would fill the air with perfume. He could have grown crops that would have fed hungry people. But instead he raised weeds. He raised weeds. And he never knew the joy of harvesting his crop. Ready for application number 6? You know, you and I are in a Christian setting right now, worship service. And I think of the tremendous potential that is assembled in a Christian setting, a worship service like this. You know, Jesus Christ started with 12 men, minus one who dropped out. But it can be said of those, they turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down. Sixth application for you. Great potential exists in every Christian audience. Great potential exists in every Christian audience. Which brings us right here to Fairview. Choom! Zero in on Fairview. For a congregation like us, and I look at it from the rearview mirror as well as the future focus, there has been a lot accomplished. Somebody could say amen to that. There has been a lot accomplished, but there's more to do. There's more to do. There's an enormous amount of potential that exists with the men and women and children here and those not here this day. I know I said on many occasions before, you know, the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism. And in any type of Christian gathering, as much as 3% of any congregation has that gift. Has that gift. We're a congregation, rounded off at 140, including our shut-ins. We'll take 3% of that. Just take that for a moment. Victories, friends, that can be won through application and witness by you and me to our neighbors, to our friends, to our work associates. Again, great potential exists in any Christian audience. And the second thing that this laziness did was that it caused the weeds to grow. Now, I'm sure he never made a decision to grow weeds. It was not as though he said, this year I'll plant weeds and see what a fine crop of thorns and nettles I can grow. No, no, he never decided to do that. The only decision he made was not to plant anything. Nature took care of the rest. The moment you decide to plant something positive in your life, look out. You got to be sure that you're going to plant something positive. If not, the negative will jump right in there. You can raise a fine crop of weeds with flabby muscles and soft white palms. They just grow on their own. You know that. You don't have to do anything to raise weeds. And there are some people just like that. They don't want to be unchristian, but then they're not really willing to put any effort into being a Christian either. Seventh application. Effort matters in the life of a Christian. Effort matters in the life of a Christian. Question: what must I do to be lost? Nothing. Do nothing, and you are automatically lost. You see, nature abhors a vacuum. And the moment we decide not to cultivate the soil and not to plant good seed, the weeds automatically begin to grow. They'll grow, they'll blight out yours and my life. And that's the final thing that this laziness did. The wall was neglected and the weeds grew. And the picture of total disintegration shows nothing left of his garden. Now the snakes live there. Now the wild animals run through it. It has been totally ruined because the man decided to do nothing. Last application. Our lives are much the same. When we do nothing for the Lord, the weeds begin to grow. Soon the walls that protected us from the evil one come tumbling down. And without God's presence, evil comes rushing in. And there is nothing left at all. So this morning, the weekend of Labor Day, if we as Christians are going to live for Jesus Christ, we must become workers. We must build up those walls, cultivate the soil, and make sure the seed of the gospel is planted in hearts and lives, so that people may be changed from producing evil to producing good. That's our task. And very succinctly, on that final application, do good for Christ. Do good for Christ. So, in bringing this message to a close, this man made no mistakes. He took no wrong roads. He never fumbled the ball. He never went down neath the weight of the load. He simply did nothing at all. He lost no hard fight in defense of the right. Never bled with his back to the wall. He never felt faint in his climb to the light. He simply did nothing at all. So death came, for life slipped by, and he feared the judgment hall. When they asked him why, he said with a sigh, "Oh, I simply did nothing at all." This man failed. You and I can succeed. We have the promise that God's Spirit will live in us and give us strength and focus and direction. Give us those words to speak and the things to do. God is challenging you and me to respond to his call every day and to do something constructive for him in the building of his kingdom. And you know, each morning he calls us and he invites us to respond. And you know, friends, final thought, I think that's far better to hear than someone who would said in our story of the man, "Oh, I did nothing at all." Say amen, someone.